So what do the crush margins mean for this market on a Tuesday? Good morning. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. We're going to get those answers from Arlen Sudeman as he joins us from StoneX. And crush margins, some say they're a bit of, and that includes you, seeing some improvement with China, but not as much for us here in the States.
Yeah, that's exactly right. As we look at crush margins, the forward curve for crush margins in China, soybeans landed in China, they were negative. They have moved into the positive now as we look forward to January and beyond, but not for U.S. soybeans. For example, in January, the crush margins are estimated at positive 36 cents for Brazil soybeans, but negative 52 cents a bushel for beans coming from the U.S. Gulf. Not much better from those coming from the Pacific Northwest, about minus 39 cents. As we go into February arrived beans, U.S. soybeans get even less advantageous, loss of 62 cents a bushel. As you get into March, that's when the margins really start improving for Brazil soybeans because they're much cheaper as new crop soybeans. So there's zero incentive right now for private crushers to import U.S. soybeans. That's why all the soybeans are basically being bought by the state buyers to go into the reserves to be released at some future date should Brazil have a production problem down the road. That doesn't look to be the case this year. They have started harvesting their soybeans, and this year's crop is estimated at about 2 billion bushels larger than the crop that we just produced here in the States.
So what about all the speculation, though, that continues, Arlen, to revolve around China and if and when and what they're doing with these purchases?
Well, I'm more encouraged about the possibility of them buying the 12 million metric tons in the handshake deal from October 30th. But when they take shipment is going to be the question. They simply don't have the room for the soybeans. They are taking some cargoes. There are ships coming to U.S. ports now to pick up soybeans, but it's going to be a slow process. And I think it'll be spread out over the next 8 months or so, maybe even longer with some of them rolling into the next marketing year. But even if they do get the 12 million metric tons, I don't think it's enough to hit USDA's overall export target to all destinations. The good news is if we can get EPA to release their regulations in the biofuel program, and if those final regulations are as we anticipate, I think the crush margin can the U.S. crush totals can far exceed what USDA currently estimates and make up for much of that lost export demand. But we need to hear from the EPA soon so we don't lose time toward the new RVO requirements for biomass diesel production.
And it's no surprise the whole geopolitical continues today, like we talked about yesterday, though it sounds like it wasn't with Taiwan as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, well, that's certainly true. As we look at Taiwan, we know that China has promised to, quote unquote, reunify Taiwan to the mainland at some point. Some analysts estimate that'll be 2027. When that happens, we really don't know when it'll happen. As Xi Jinping is committed to making it happen. They just completed another war exercise around Taiwan today. It was the most intense, the closest to its shores, the most expansive area around Taiwan that's ever been that's ever done before, including blockading its ports. Over 70 rounds of missiles fired into many of them falling into Taiwan waters, simulated landings, all meant to intimidate Taiwan, to make its population think, oh, we can't win this war, let's just go ahead and join China. And also to send a message to the West that it can successfully cut off Taiwan from the West. And so at some point, we anticipate that China will make the move on Taiwan. We don't know when it will be, whether it's next week, next month, next year, or 5 years from now. But when it does happen, it'll look a lot like this. So the people saying, oh, it's just another war exercise, another intimidation mode. And then suddenly they'll be on land and making their strike. That's similar to what Russia did with Ukraine back in February of 2022. And even days before that invasion, Our sources in Ukraine are saying, no, Russia's not going to do that. This is what they always do. And they caught them lulled asleep and moved in.
Do we see continued elevated risk, though, with Russia and Ukraine? It seems like there's no peace deal, per se, in the workings. And then it seems to have a trickle effect into what we see in energy prices.
Yeah, certainly energy and also in wheat prices. As we recall, back in February of 2022, when the war started and Russia moved into Ukraine, we saw commodity prices really explode higher on the fear that that ships moving through the Black Sea, this commodity-rich area of exports in the world to the world, would shut down, and it didn't. And both sides seemed to try to avoid commodities to allow them to continue to flow. But that has really changed. Now commodities are becoming the focus of that war by both sides. And so the risks are elevated. Whenever there's talk of peace and progress in peace agreement, we see commodity prices, meaning energy and wheat prices, go down. But when those peace talks seem to fall apart, is what they've done now, they tend to drift back up once again. No big move like what we saw in February 2022, but that's the risk that we see. Should we see enough escalation that shippers just say it's not worth the risk to go into the Black Sea?
Let's look at livestock before we wrap up our conversation. Will we see some sort of cash this week, or is it just going to kind of hold steady on the cattle?
Well, there's an expectation that we're going to see it. Online auction was at 225 bid, 230 offered for Texas cattle this morning. It was 229 there last week. Packers are already talking about slowing the chain speed next week, and that's what they're purchasing for this week now. That wouldn't be a surprise because we've seen their margins really implode here, changing, flipping about $400 per head from positive to negative over in recent weeks. So we probably will see it slow down. But overall, this is a market that when you look at the board, the futures prices, for feeder cattle, they've been still trending higher, but starting to lose momentum. When you look at fat cattle futures, they've definitely lost some momentum, consolidating in a very tight range in a sideways mode. And looking to see how we start the new year with slaughter of these animals. Tight supplies of cattle. Packers are fighting over that tight supply. But overall, packer margins are very, very poor once again right now.
All right. Thanks so much. Arlen Sudeman joining us today with StoneX. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's a midday market update on the American Ag Network.